Well, I've got a word on my heart today, and it's a word that God has specifically given me for us, for our church, as we come together to seek the Lord, to find the Lord, as we seek Him with all of our heart. That's the scripture that's been on our heart for this weekend. And we've set aside time. We are purposefully setting aside time. This isn't just something we do for the fun of it every 12 months. There's plenty of other things that we could do on a Saturday, right? This isn't for the fun of it. This is because we are serious about meeting our King, hearing from Him, getting direction from Him, being encouraged by Him. And I want to encourage, as we step into the final session today of Saturday, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith. He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet for any of us. He may have done something great in you already. He's not finished. Open up your hearts. Listen to what God wants to say to you. You know, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, "And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him." We are sincerely seeking Him. And you can be sure, if you believe in Him, He is going to bring reward to you today. And it's with faith in our hearts that we believe in Him. And today, as we're gathering in a place that He loves to visit. So you mean like in the four walls? No, He loves to visit where His people are at. It's not about four walls. We could be meeting on top of the playground right now, amongst that big tree. And if we're there, God's going to want to visit because that's where His people are at. And we're going to look at what Jesus does when He visits those He loves. This is the scriptures going to unpack this for us today. You know, some of you may be familiar with Bethany from the scriptures. Some of you right now are like, "I've never heard of her. Who is Bethany?" That's because Bethany isn't a person. Bethany is a town in the New Testament. And is there a map? Here's a map. So, I thought, you know, maybe you've never heard of Bethany, and it's like, but there's some relevance in the scriptures to what Bethany means for each and every single one of us. And over here, we have the city of David and Jerusalem. And then sort of up, I feel like, I need a laser pointer, right? Going back to the 80s. Anyone ever been in a service with some people? Yeah, some people remember. Other people are like, "A what?" And over here, we've got the Mount of Olives, and Bethany's through this area over here, away from the city of David and Jerusalem. And Bethany is about 1.5 furlongs from Jerusalem. Okay, doesn't make sense for everyone? 15 stadia. Does that help anybody? For those of you in the old measurements. No, 3.2 kilometers. Does that help anybody? 3,200 meters. So it's not that far from Jerusalem. But Bethany is a place in the New Testament that Jesus came to on a regular basis to be with His friends. It's a place that He visited regularly to be with His friends. It says this in John 15:15. "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." When you know Jesus personally, He calls you a friend. And in this town, Bethany, He had some friends that He would regularly come and visit. Jesus is your Savior, amen, but He's also your friend. Anyone here a friend of God? The scriptures say you are, if you know Him, if you love Him. And it's a place where Jesus came to rest away from the hustle and the bustle, the chaos of Jerusalem, and everything was happening at the time. You know, today in this place, we've set aside time to come away from the hustle and the bustle, things that are happening in our lives, family, work, just things that are happening in the world. And we put aside time to be with Jesus. And this, my friends, is a place that Jesus loved to come and visit because you are His friends. Amen. This today, this weekend, is our Bethany moment, a place of visitation to meet with Jesus. You know, on the mountain, he meets with friends. On the mountain, he meets with you today. He's already met us, amen, but he's continuing to reside and be with his friends. You know, Bethany, it's a place of significance, not just for him. He loved to go there. It's a place where he could just come away from everything, all the chaos that was happening, all the religious things. And at that time, Rome was occupying that area as well. He could just come away and just be refreshed, place of refuge, be with the people that he loved. But it was also significant that the people that he spent time with, to those that he ministered to, it's a place where Jesus conducted one of his most profound miracles, a pivotal moment in his ministry, and a picture of victory that he was going to have over death and the cross in his own life. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to encourage you, lean in, increase your faith this afternoon. There are two things that I want to focus on today, miracles and spiritual encounter. We know that Jesus was and is a miracle worker. Anybody else believe that? Good, that means you believe the Bible. That's fantastic. Bethany is a place that Jesus came to when he was called on by Mary and her sister Martha. And I want to encourage you, always be ready to call on the name of the Lord. Always be ready to call on Jesus today. And if you haven't called on Jesus today, my encouragement to you is call on Jesus. You know, their brother, Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, he was sick. And the sisters sent message to Jesus, and we pick this up in John 11, verse 3. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus, the one who you love is sick. I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus personally, you are the one who he loves. You are the one who he loves. Something's going wrong in your world. Don't be afraid to call on Jesus. You're the one he loves. He will come. He will take care of business. And in this moment of need, the sisters call out to Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, if you are sick in body, sick in soul, sick in mind, let's get this message with Jesus today. Let's get it into us. Let's get ready to call on the name of Jesus. And they did that. They're like, the one you love is sick. And the same Jesus of Mary, the same Jesus of Martha and Lazarus is your Jesus today. Let's be reminded, that is your Jesus today. You have the same access to call on Jesus, to come and move in your life and the life of your family. And this is Jesus' response to the sisters, picking up in verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus is sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Can I encourage you? Judea is in the other direction. Can we have the map back? Judea is a whole area, but it's like all this out here is like Judea, and they're over here. He's like, let's go back. Let's go hang out. Let's go hang out a little bit more in Jerusalem. And his disciples, first let's say this in verse 5, a big wow in verse 5. Jesus notes that he loved this family. Amazing. How beautiful, how wonderful, how significant. Know what today, this is how Jesus feels towards you. He loves you. You're a part of his family. But in verse 6, his actions at the very least are, let's say, confusing. A little confusing. Lazarus is sick and his decision is to go toward the hustle and the bustle and the chaos of Judea. You know, Judea, as I've said already, was a region under Roman occupation. It was governed by Rome, but religiously led by the Jewish rabbis. That's why it was a place of chaos and hustle and bustle. And the reason this seems a little bit crazy, and we find it in verse 8, and this is the response of his disciples. They're like, "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back." So we could go to Lazarus right now. He's sick. You've said that he needs healing. It's a perplexing decision that we see Jesus make. But Jesus answers in verse 9. This is going to give us some clarity around Jesus' heart, not just for us, but his heart for all people. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." And it's a reminder to us today that Jesus had limited time on earth. There was a limited time of ministry where he could go back to the chaos of Jerusalem, Judea. There was a limited moment where he could complete the tasks of being the light of the world with his physical body before he was to depart. There was an obedience for God's will in that moment. It was God's will that he went to Judea, that he went to the chaos, the hustle, the bustle, the place where the religious leaders were leading with dominance. And B, I just want to remind you today, maybe I've called on the name of the Lord before and nothing's moved yet. We look at this story and we see Lazarus is on his deathbed, but Jesus is off to do some things. And maybe you're like, it's too late. The things in my heart, it's already died. Jesus is still at work. He's taking care of business. And we'll see, he comes at the right time that he needs to come. Why? We've already read it. It's for the glory of the Lord. It's so that the Son may be glorified. Be reminded, there is a perfect will of God for each and every single one of us where God's glory will be revealed. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Take heart, be strong and courageous. Verse 11, after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "If he sleeps, he'll get better." And Jesus had been speaking of his death, Lazarus' death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Can't get any plainer than that, can it? There's no parable around that one. I'm not looking to find the meaning. But he goes on to say, "And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. Let us go to him." Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." I want to encourage you. You know, maybe you've had a moment, maybe you're in a moment, maybe you will be in a moment where you're like, "I just feel like Thomas." It's like, this is too hard. This is too difficult. I just want to say it's okay today. You know, Thomas, we can look at that and go, "Oh, Thomas," just Bevan and I were talking about this week. Thomas gets a hard rap. It's like almost whoever was writing it was like listening to every just bad thing that Thomas could say. And it's like, "Oh, there it is. Oh, I can't believe he said that." But let's be reminded. He was the one who said, "Let's go." The others didn't say anything. He thought he was marching to his death, but he was prepared to do that with Jesus. But he's the one who's like, "Well, let's go." If Jesus said, "Let's go," let's go. He was the one who said, "We're going." His outlook may have been looking low, but he was committed to go to the end with Jesus. I want to encourage you. It's okay to feel like Thomas sometimes, but let the words come out. He's like, "I'm ready to go with you, Jesus. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm ready to go with you anyway." A couple of quick observations for us today. Sometimes our understanding of what's going on in the natural and the spiritual may not be the full story. The disciples were confused. I mean, let's be honest. When you read the passage, you're like, "I'm confused. What is Jesus even doing right now?" Sometimes we may not have the full story, but you can be sure that Jesus has everything in consideration. You can be sure of it. Now, he literally says this in verse 15, "And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." He had everything in the consideration for the disciples. They needed to believe at another level about who he was and what he could do with the power of God. In the middle of what seems a horrendous moment, Jesus is the calm in your storm. Jesus is the calm in your storm. And he's doing these things for your sake. Like, I prefer he didn't. Anyone else like, well, there's moments where this is just chaotic. I would prefer that you didn't do this right now for my sake, Jesus, because this is too hard. But you can be sure the challenge, the things that are coming up against you, the mountaintop moments, the valleys, and everything in between, He is doing this for your sake. He's doing this for our sake. He's doing this for your best outcome. He's doing this for faith to form. He's doing this for character to grow. He's doing this that you may believe with all of your heart. You know, verse 17, Jesus arrives in Bethany to find Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. That's how long he's like, let's just go the other way for a little bit. 4 days Lazarus has been in the tomb. And in verse 21, Martha goes to meet Jesus and she is verbally disappointed in Jesus. Not just in her heart, not just in her mind. She is verbally disappointed. It says this, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Maybe that goes beyond verbal disappointment. She's like, I am blaming you for this outcome. You said you would come, but you've come too late. Now, I think it's worth noting for each of us, it's okay to be disappointed at times. I think it's a natural part of being human. There's moments where we look at the outcome, we're like, I did not see it happening like that. I did not see my life taking that trajectory. I did not see that curve. It's okay to feel disappointment. It's okay to let Jesus know that your heart is heavy with disappointment and loss and grief. It's okay to share your concern. But verse 22 reminds us that we need to have spent enough time with Jesus to know that God will do whatever Jesus asks. Just because that's how it's worked, that doesn't mean that that's the final destination. Verse 22, it says, and this is directly after Martha airing her disappointment. So if you were here, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But in verse 22, immediately afterwards, she says this, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Just a glimmer of faith, a glimmer of hope. Verse 23, immediately Jesus' response, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. What's he saying? Your faith has just shifted life, death back to life. Martha's faith moved the heart of Jesus. Let your faith rise today in the situations that are happening in your life. Let your faith rise in the life of our church. Let your faith rise. Let your faith move the heart and words of Jesus. That's exactly what Mary did. Her faith and her words moved the heart of Jesus. See, I want to encourage you. You might be looking at things in your life right now and goes, I think that's done. Let your words, let your faith move the heart of Jesus to raise to life what looks like it's dead. Let your faith see Jesus bring life back into promises, into dreams, into family. Let hope begin to fill your heart again. Martha believed. I want to encourage you. It is our job. We can't do it all, but it's our heart, our responsibility to believe. To believe that Jesus can come and do what he needs to do. Verse 27, yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you're Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. It changes her perspective about everything. She verbally confirms to him, you're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one that God sent. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world in that moment. And Jesus is moved deeply, it says in verse 38. He speaks to Lazarus. In verse 38, he's moved deeply and declares that the stone be taken away. So verse 41, it says, they took the stone away. And Jesus looked up to the Father and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And it goes on to say in 42, I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people who are standing around me, that they may believe that you've sent me. It's a moment for God to be glorified. It's a moment for Jesus to... I just want you to think about your situation. She's like, why is this taking so long? Maybe, just maybe, God is waiting for some people to be brought into your world to witness the miracle that's about to happen. Maybe, just maybe, there's some family members that need to have the attention of God so that the miracle can come to pass and you can, with your lips, rejoice to heaven and say, God has done this. God moved what looked like was dead and brought it back to life. God has come through and brought dreams back to life, relationships back to life. And Jesus goes on to say, when he says this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. Just visualize it. That's why I'm doing this one. It's like, what is going on? Is this some type of like crazy like gimmick? Maybe if you just, some of you who have been raised on a generation of zombies, you're like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, is he about to release across Bethany and Judea just this wild like zombie flu? No, Jesus has brought him back to life and he's shuffling out of the grave. And Jesus says to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And the desire in my heart today is this: believe that Jesus is here. Believe that Jesus is moving and is going to answer prayers today. This isn't a message for the future. This is a message today. Believe that Jesus is going to move. Jesus is immovable. He is working all things together for your good. Perhaps you're looking at situations and it's like, how can this situation be good? He is working it all together for your good. What good can come of this? Watch what happens when Jesus breathes life back into it. How can God help this health issue? Maybe you're looking at a relationship right now or a family dynamic or a friendship. And you're like, and you're thinking, this is over. This is finished. Know this today. What the enemy meant for harm, God will use for good. What the enemy, and there are testimonies in this room right now. What the enemy meant for harm, God has used for good. Whose testimony is that today? Come on. You're in the middle of it and you're like, this is over. What good can come from this? What the enemy meant for harm, God will use it for good. We know the scripture, John 10, verse 10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that you may have life and life abundant. The account of Lazarus tells us this. The enemy came to kill and destroy, but Jesus came to breathe life back into the body of Lazarus. I want you to believe that for your health issue, for your challenge, for the persecution that you're under. Let's go with Jesus today to see what things look like a dead but are going to be resurrected back to life. Allow him to come to you today. Follow his lead today. Jesus is on the way. The miracle is on the way. And Jesus says, come out, come alive in Jesus' name. Maybe as the team comes this morning, I told you it was going to be quick. I wasn't joking. See, Jesus knows your complete story. And I want to encourage you, at the moment, you know the incomplete story. You're looking at it and going, well, I guess this is the story. No, that is the incomplete story. He is still writing your story. You know what happened at Bethany? It's not a parable. Anyone knows what a parable is? A parable is when Jesus told some stories to help people understand what the kingdom of God was. This is not a parable. This is not a story that someone's like, if I write this in here, people are just going to love this. This is a wild story. People could make a TV show about this. Well, they did, didn't they? Yeah. No, it's not a storyline for a TV show. This is an account of what God has done in the life of an individual and their family. And why am I bringing that to your attention? He knows the complete story and it's still playing out, but faith needs to rise in your heart. You need to come to the Lord just like Martha and Mary did and say, Jesus, I call on Jesus. I call on Jesus in this situation. I call on the name of the Lord. Now, he's at work in your life. He knows the outcome. He's at work in your family. He knows the outcome. He's at work in our church. He knows the outcome. And it may be a little bit perplexing, and we may not understand it right now, but we're coming in faith to Jesus. know, for you today as an individual, what seems dead is not dead at all. What seems dead is not dead at all. In the words of Jesus, it's merely sleeping. It's merely sleeping. And it's ready for a miracle. Your kids who are away from the Lord, their relationship with Him is merely sleeping. He's about to breathe life and resurrect it. Your marriages, He's about to breathe life into it and resurrect it. The desires of your heart, He's about to breathe life back into it and resurrect it. Why is He doing this? So that the Son of God may be glorified. So that the Son of God may be glorified. Now, if you need Jesus to move today, in fact, why don't we all stand to our feet for a moment? But if you need Jesus to move today, I said at the beginning, let faith rise. Let faith rise. Because right now what I'm asking you to do is to engage that faith. Let faith rise. Engage that faith. If you need a healing. So, oh, is He talking about me? Yes. Yes, I'm talking about you. If you need healing. If you need a miracle. If you need a relationship restored. If you need a heart healed, if you need a mind renewed, if you need a family brought back together, if you need a career revived. There's people in this room right now, you're looking at a career and it's like, I guess that's it. It's not over. It's not over. The story's not finished. Don't give up. Come with faith. If you need vision restored in your heart, if you need mission reclarified, Jesus is here today. He is calling you to live in His promise. And I want to encourage you, if any of those things are for you, or if God is speaking to you, can I invite you to come out the front today? A step of faith to say, I want a miracle. I want healing. I want relationships restored. I'm going to stand in the gap of my children. Whatever it is today, that's it. Holy Spirit.